Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal, and I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer, and this is Double Coverage. We're going to talk everything Ole Miss and Mississippi State for the next half hour or so. We're glad you have chosen to click in with us. Logan, how are you, man?
Hey, doing good, Parrish. Getting ready for my first road trip of the season. I know you've already had the big trek down to Orlando early in the year, you know, and had a few extra days to get ready for that. You had the rare Monday game. But yeah, this will be my first attempt at it. Obviously, it's a trip I'm familiar with. Made the trip to Baton Rouge many times, not as many times as you have, obviously. I mean, you're right down the road from there, or grew up right down the road from there. So maybe you can give me some tips and some places I need to see while I'm down there, maybe.
Yeah, I can give you some tips, man. Take your rubber boots and wear your pants high. All the floodwater's gone for right now, but you know they come up periodically. Anyway, hey, we're glad you're with us, folks. You mentioned that first road trip, Logan. I tell you, I was not looking forward to that start to the season with a Monday game and then coming back and playing again in 5 days. And it's different had that game been in Oxford or closer to home. But it was tough. It was tough playing a late Monday night game, then having a travel day on Tuesday, and then getting ready for an FCS opponent that's a different kind of opponent that runs that option. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. But I just say that to say I finally feel like I'm back in the football routine of Saturday game and everything leading up to that during the week. Hey, folks, before we get too far along, we want to remind you about a couple of other Daily Journal podcasts for you to check out. Be sure to look for The Memo, All Things Northeast Mississippi, on the news side with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. That is three times a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And also check out Prep Rally for all your high school sports needs with Brad Locke, Gene Phelps, and Blake Morgan. That comes to you every Wednesday. And you can start your day with Newsbreak at DJournal.com, a 5-minute video of all things happening, hitting the news highlights of the day, news and sports and weather as well. So all of that for you from the staff of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Looking back and looking ahead, Mississippi State, Logan, what kind of team is this, man? Is this the South Alabama team, or is this the team that that just manhandled South Carolina?
This is the team that I saw on the field last Saturday. It was kind of the team that I expected to see coming into this year. You know, you saw the flashes of some of the young players stepping up. I mean, it was really impressive. You know, like they bit a 24-0 lead on South Carolina in that first half. The defense was dominating. The offense got things rolling with the quarterback run game. The passing game was pretty good, and it didn't allow any sacks. The run game was still a little suspect. But, you know, really got the tight end involved for the first time this season. It was a lot what I expected from Mississippi State this season, something I did not see in that first week against South Alabama. I don't know if it took that loss to get their attention or what, but I know they came out with a different fire and a different intensity in that second game. Played like they actually wanted to be there. Played like they actually wanted to win the game. And it was like almost in that South Alabama game, they thought that, you know, if they roll the ball out there, then they would win. I think they just needed to get a kick in the pants to get going, and that definitely did. They were all embarrassed from that South Alabama loss. I think they heard that for an entire week of, you know, how terrible they were and how people were giving up on them and all that stuff. And, they came out with a different intensity in that second game. And
why do you think that intensity was lacking against South Alabama? I get it from the players' standpoint, and sometimes, you know, you got to coach those guys through that. But was it a point of intensity missing also with Dan Mullen? Did you sense that in the South Alabama game? I've heard people talk from this South Carolina game about how much more intense he looked, and then there's been the conversation about him tweeting from halftime and encouraging the fans to stay there and be there in the fourth quarter and all of that. Was there something missing from the coaching aspect against South Alabama in terms of intensity? Did you sense that?
I don't think it was just the game day coaching. I think it was the entire week. I mean, the players talked last week leading up to the South Carolina game about how intense Dan Mullen was taking everything. I mean, he had cuts on his nose. He had cuts on the back of his head. Well, he actually suffered a head injury during the South Alabama game. They brought in these little tent things, little shades to go over the benches during that game. Well, Dan Mullen popped up and cut his head. I think he had 9 staples in the back of his head during that South Alabama game. But, you know, he came out. He was intense that second week. The players just talked about how much he got after them. He was bouncing around, getting in drills, and, you know, acting like a wild man, basically. And I think that really got to him. I mean, that continued on through the game. You saw how intense and how fired up he was about everything. And that's kind of maybe what this team needed. You know, it's a young team. A lot of these guys haven't played a whole lot. And they're, you know, we talked to A.J. Jefferson after that South Alabama loss. And he's like, you know, that's something these young players don't understand. They've came in, you know, a lot of them came in. We were the number one team in the country. You know, they'd won 19 games over the last 2 years. And they don't know anything but winning. They don't know what it takes to win. They don't remember the hard work that it took to get to that point. And I think they got back to that last week, and that kind of showed there in the first half against South Carolina. You know, it wasn't the same in the second half in the South Carolina game. Had a 63-minute lightning delay at halftime. So, you know, it just really wasn't that same environment in that second half, but it was a lot better environment than it was in that South Alabama game. I mean, the stadium just basically was bare minimum type fans. If you had a handful of rocks and threw it up in the stands during that South Alabama game in the second half, you would have had a hard time hitting somebody. I mean, they just evacuated. It was so hot, and the atmosphere was just terrible, and I think that attributed some of that to how the players played in that second half.
Well, Ole Miss is getting ready to welcome Alabama, number one ranked Alabama. Of course, a lot of conversation, a lot of focus on this game from a national perspective because Ole Miss has beaten Alabama the last 2 years. You got to go back to Joe Tiller at Purdue in the late 1990s to find somebody to find another coach who has defeated Nick Saban 3 consecutive seasons. Tiller and Purdue did it from 97 to 99, and it's not happened in the SEC. Only Les Miles and Steve Spurrier, when Spurrier was at Florida, have defeated Saban in back-to-back seasons in the SEC. Now, that was until last year when Hugh Freeze did it. He became the third coach to beat a Nick Saban team in back-to-back season. So there's a lot of talk on that, Logan, but when you have that, man, and you know as well as I do, that to me, that it gets lost, the fact that these teams change. When you're focusing on, you know, even just back-to-back seasons, man, these teams change so much from year to year. And look, this is a different Ole Miss team. It's a team right now that I think is capable of pulling off an upset against Alabama, and it would be an upset. But this is a team that's got some real issues in the secondary, and you only have one look at this Ole Miss team this season. The Wofford game last week really did not give Ole Miss an opportunity to improve from the Florida State game. And you're coming in on 5 days rest. Well, that's, you know, one of those days is a travel day. You know, in terms of true preparation, you know, the window is much shorter. And you're trying to get ready for a team that runs the triple option. It's not something you're going to see the rest of the year. So it's not like playing this small college opponent, this FCS member, is going to help you improve for the style of offenses that you'll see the rest of the season. So you're trying to get ready for that option on a short window. And, you know, it's a game where you hope you can play a lot of players. And Ole Miss did. They substituted freely from the beginning, particularly on defense. But, you know, it's not it's just not there's not a lot from the Wofford game that they're going to carry forward into Alabama. So what that means is you only have one picture, one snapshot of this team to get an idea of what you'll see from the Rebels against Alabama. And I think they have real concerns in their pass defense. So we talked a lot about Kendarius Webster last week and what a loss he was going out early against the Seminoles. Look, you know, he was their best cover cornerback, but Kendarius Webster was still a part of a defense last year that gave up more than 250 passing yards a game, ranking next to last in the SEC. There was a lot of hope that Kendarius Webster was going to take a big step forward and improve this season based on the work he put in the spring and summer. I mean, you could see physically how he had changed, the weight he had added, and he had committed himself to studying his game and opponents in the video room. So there were a lot of high hopes that he was going to be a much improved player. But now you don't have him. The Rebels have played six cornerbacks the last 2 weeks, so that tells you that they really don't know who their best players are. Some guys who have a little more experience haven't really stepped up and taken hold of a starting job. Tony Bridges, Cam Ordway, guys who have been around a little bit. So I think really a lot of the focus is going to be on a redshirt freshman, Jalen Julius, and a true freshman, Jalen Jones. But when I look at how this team performed in pass defense against Florida State, it does not give you a lot of confidence for the Alabama game. Now, you can talk about Jalen Hurts, the Alabama quarterback. That's most likely who it will be. And, yes, he's a true freshman, but it was a redshirt freshman from Florida State in DeAndre Francois who really, you know, took advantage of open receivers and soft coverage. And, you know, they gave him a lot of opportunities, and Francois took advantage for 419 yards. He didn't have the interceptions, didn't have the turnovers, and that was why Florida State was able to come back and win that game. They took advantage of the Ole Miss turnovers and the mistakes there. But, you know, when he had those 419 passing yards, Logan, it wasn't so much about just burning Ole Miss downfield and this defense giving up big plays. It was giving up cushion. It was the dink and dump. It was the tight end dragging across the middle. And you know, those are things that Ole Miss has to really improve on, and you just don't know that they're there. You don't know if they have really improved from the Florida State game because Wofford only attempted seven passes. You know, they ran that triple option. They possessed the ball and ran the clock. We'll talk a little bit more about that game in a minute. But I really think that the pass coverage is going to be an issue for Ole Miss against Alabama.
Yeah, and, you know, Mississippi State, for them to – I mean, they're going down to Baton Rouge this weekend. Obviously, it's a tough place to play, one of the toughest environments in all of college football to play, you know, going into Death Valley on a Saturday night. I mean, you've heard all those stories for years. And, you know, last time Mississippi State went down there, they conquered that. I mean, that was the first win against LSU in quite some time. And then these two teams met again in Starkville a year ago, and Mississippi State very well could have won that ball game. It came down to a last-second field goal, and Mississippi State took a delay of game to make that a 52-yard field goal. And missed that field goal at the very end, would have won the game. So Mississippi State and LSU have had some battles over the last 2 years. It's a game that Mississippi State didn't look like they had a prayer in after that week one loss to South Alabama. The way they played against South Carolina, you know, gives them a little bit of hope. I mean, they've got some confidence going down to there now. Obviously, LSU has some issues themselves. They've been interchanging quarterbacks, and you know, Leonard Fournette missed last week's ball game. Looks like he's going to be back for this week, and just have to see how their offense goes with the new quarterback, and obviously getting Fournette back as well is going to help them. But Mississippi State, they've got to play for four quarters, and that's something they haven't done so far this year. I mean, they've outscored their opponents 41-0 in the first half. And then come back in the second half, and they've been outscored 35-6. So they've gotten things done right off the jump, but you're going to have to play a four-quarter game down there against LSU, and that's something Mississippi State has yet to do. The one thing Mississippi State did do last week against South Carolina was they finally found their quarterback, Paris. I mean, we've been talking since January, who's going to be the guy to replace Dak Prescott? Well, I thought all along it was going to be Nick Fitzgerald, and he got the start in that South Alabama game, but only played seven snaps and did not complete a pass, did not make a first down. So I really wasn't feeling too good about my chances of him being the guy after that. And, you know, Dan Mullen, for whatever reason, sat down with him the very next day after that South Alabama game and told him that he was the starter moving forward, and the offense was going to revolve around him. And he went into last week, took the majority of the reps, and went out there and only broke a record that stood since 1980, Egg Bowl. He broke John Bond's rushing record for a quarterback, had 195 yards rushing against South Carolina. And, you know, that's kind of his strength right now. I mean, he's still a redshirt sophomore. The passing game is still going to come for him. He's improving there. But the running game, he's got down pat. He's 6'5", you know, 230 pounds, can run. He's a lot faster than Dak Prescott. He's a lot more athletic than Dak Prescott. I know a lot of people talk about Dak being a running quarterback. Nick Fitzgerald is faster and more athletic than he is. I mean, he probably doesn't have that same physical style that Prescott had, but you know, he's every bit the runner that he was, and probably more. So he gives them a dangerous weapon back there, and that really helps Mississippi State's running game. The last 2 years, State struggled to move the chains running the football. They've relied a lot on Brandon Holloway, who, you know, at 5'8", 160 pounds maybe, just really isn't the typical SEC type of running back. And really, you know, it's hard for him to pick up those tough short yardage situations. So getting a bigger guy, 6'5", 230 pounds of Nick Fitzgerald is really going to help them in that regard. And it really just gave the offense a little bit more flow instead of, you know, interchanging quarterbacks. Really don't know which quarterback's going to go in this series or whatever. It just really seemed to make the offense flow a lot better. And, you know, if he keeps continuing to improve in the passing game, he will give Mississippi State a true dual threat quarterback. But, you know, this week, the focus is going to be on the defense. You know, they're going to have to try to stop Leonard Fournette, and that's something that they didn't do last week. They did a lot better last year. They did a lot better job against Leonard Fournette in the second half, but in that first half against LSU last year, I believe he had ran for 3 touchdowns in that first half. So, you know, they can't let him run loose like that this week, or it could be another long weekend for Mississippi State.
Well, Fournette looked pretty average. He looked human, I guess, against Wisconsin, and then didn't play against Jacksonville State. So, you know, a guy who many think will be a Heisman contender really hasn't gotten off to that kind of start. It will be interesting to see, you know, what he's able to do against Mississippi State, because they've been pretty strong against the run the first 2 games. Is that right?
They have. I mean, they've had 22 tackles for loss. I mean, teams haven't run hardly at all against them. They've only had only 119 yards in the first half, you know, teams. I mean, so they've been had a stranglehold on the run game. And, you know, what little bit they've been able to do has been through the passing game, a lot of it to the tight end. And, you know, that's something LSU is just now evolving in their offense, is getting the ball to the tight end with this new quarterback. So we'll have to see how that goes. But, you know, teams have had success throwing to the quarterback in these first 2 games. So Mississippi State's going to have to tighten up in the secondary and make sure they get that guy covered.
Well, defensive line play was a bright spot for Ole Miss against Florida State. The Rebels really limited Dalvin Cook. He was the ACC's leading rusher last year with over 140 yards a game. The Rebels held him to just 92, held him to 2.8 yards per carry in the first half. Now, he hurt them as a receiver out of the backfield, as most Florida State receivers did once they got going there. But the defensive line really played well in the run game. Then they come back against Wofford. Again, the option offense, the very short window to prepare. A lot of guys have not seen that kind of offense. Well, Wofford did what it does now, and they rushed for 233 yards. I don't see that as a big concern, you know, for Ole Miss. I still think this is a very good defensive line, and I'm interested to see how it does against an Alabama offense that has been erratic in the run game and averaged just 3.2 yards on the ground against Western Kentucky, really below their standards. So they're trying to get the ship righted there in Tuscaloosa as far as that goes. And they're doing a lot of things right, very good on defense right now. But you know, they want to see what they can get out of this freshman quarterback, and they want to get that running game going to help him out. Ole Miss, if they're going to have a chance for a third straight win against Alabama, has to have outstanding play from the defensive line. They've got to contain the running game again, And Alabama has some good backs as well. They've got to limit those guys. They've got to collapse the pocket and put pressure on Jalen Hurts, and they need to do it with just the defensive line. They need to do it with those ends, maybe Isaac Gross coming up the middle. They've got to get pressure with four people, because if they can do that and can collapse the pocket that way, then they can drop seven into coverage. They can really reduce those throwing windows, you know, for Jalen Hurts, and can rattle him that way. It's a lot harder to complete those passes when you don't have that that receiver running in wide open space. So I just think that's the key for Ole Miss in this game. If they're going to have a chance for a third straight win, they've got to be great on the defensive line. They've got to rattle Hurts, which they rattled DeAndre Francois for the first half. But Florida State made some adjustments. They protected better in the second half. Francois, a redshirt freshman, regained his composure and really had a big game. Ole Miss needs two halves of pressure against Jalen Hurts, you know, as well as containing the run game. If they get that kind of play from their defensive line, and I think they're capable, you know, they could possibly pick up that third win against Alabama. If they don't, I just don't, you know, I don't have confidence in this pass defense right now. They're playing so many guys at corner, trying to find who their best players are there. But that defensive line against Alabama is going to be the key. Offensively, Logan, we're looking at an Ole Miss bunch that has run the ball well in spots, but not enough. And you're looking at an Alabama defense that has given up only 87 yards rushing in two games. Not in one game, in two games. So they're not giving up much on the ground. Ole Miss hasn't gotten a lot done, you know, with its rushing game, and now it's a lot thinner at the position. I think you're going to see a lot more of Akeem Judd in this game, whether he has the hot hand, as they say, or not, because this isn't the kind of game against the number one team in the country where you want to put in a freshman, Devon Penniman, or where you want to put in even a Eugene Brasley, because he hasn't played in these games before either. This is not the kind of game where you want to go out and cut your teeth. I think you're going to see a lot more of Akeem Judd. I don't know if the Rebels will get a lot done in the run game, and they're going to need to take some pressure off Chad Kelly to loosen things up a little bit. Alabama's averaging 3.5 sacks a game. You know, this is going to be a great challenge for Ole Miss offensively. And when we talk about a picture of this team this season, you go back to the first half and look at what this team did against Florida State. Many people believe that Florida State's secondary is the best unit in the country. And Chad Kelly moved that offense up and down the field. Receivers were open. He found them. He threw some great passes. Very explosive offense in the first half. And then the third quarter came, and the Rebels struggled. Kelly was pressing. Florida State made some adjustments. All of that comes together, and the Rebels just lost it in the third quarter. If they can avoid that against Alabama, maintain composure, I'll be really interested to see what they can do against this Alabama defense, as good as it is, because Ole Miss can be very explosive on offense. We'll see what happens there.
We got some breaking news, Parrish, while you were just talking. Mississippi State and Louisiana Lafayette have scheduled a football series in 2018 and 2019. Mississippi State is actually going to play in New Orleans in the Superdome in 2018. So, that's the 2019 game. I'm actually reading this as it just came in. So Mississippi State's going to
– This just in.
This just in. Yeah, exactly. Mississippi State will open the 2019 season in the Louisiana Superdome. So, it's a little bit of breaking news here. But, you know, going back to some things for Mississippi State this weekend, I think the state's got a big boost from their defensive side of the ball. Jamal Peters, who did not play at all in the secondary during that first week, he moved from safety to cornerback. He ended up playing cornerback against South Carolina last week and had a big interception in that. So he gives Mississippi State a little bit of a shot in the arm at the cornerback position. I mean, 6'2", 217 pounds. He's a huge cornerback, but he still has that speed that can, you know, play that position. And it gives Mississippi State a great matchup, you know, with some of the larger receivers that are in this league. And, you know, he kind of gives them an equalizer. The interception that he had, he was going up against a receiver that was 6'3", 220. And he goes up and gets the interception on him. So, you know, it gives them kind of an equalizer at that spot. And obviously, getting guys back like Jeffrey Simmons and Nick James at defensive tackle really helped. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons was just a force in his very first ball game. The first play of the game, he busts right through there and gets a tackle for loss. I mean, he busted through a double team like it wasn't anything. You know, he had a big forced fumble in that ball game. He was just an animal out there. He was as good as advertised. And then Nick James, you know, the same way, just a huge run clogger right there in the middle that requires a double team. So that's really freeing things up for Mississippi State's linebackers to get those two big guys in there and, you know, take up some of that space in the middle, you know, take up some of those offensive linemen to free up the linebackers to go make a tackle. And then didn't see a whole lot of Malik Deer last week, wide receiver. He did get in the ball game after that one game suspension, but really just didn't see him really factor into that ball game. He's obviously a playmaker. He showed that last year as a true freshman. So we look to see him more involved in the offense this week and see if they can get him some plays made from that slot position.
Well, Logan, when you cover Mississippi State in the Superdome, be sure to bring a parachute. It's the highest press box you'll see, and the elevator's pretty slow. So if you need to get down in a hurry, you better, you know, the parachute might be your best option there. You know, one other thing I'd like to see from Ole Miss against Alabama is if the Rebels can leave a game without a major injury. You know, they had two guys lost for the season in the Florida State game. We mentioned Ken Webster, also backup running back Eric Swinney. And then against Wofford, they lose freshman wide receiver DK Metcalf. And Logan, this guy had quickly become their target of choice in the red zone, 6'4", 220-ish, 225 maybe, very athletic. He had only caught two passes, but both of them were touchdowns in the end zone on fade patterns, and just a real target down there that Chad Kelly had quickly become very comfortable with. Well, now Metcalf is done for the year, probably done for the year. You know, it may be that his foot heals in time enough for them to make some sort of decision. But Hugh Freeze really implied that even if that's the case in the months ahead, that he would think long and hard before burning this year for DK Metcalf, because right now he has a chance to get this year back as a redshirt after the injury. So we'll see if the Rebels can get out of what will no doubt be a very physical game against Alabama without another injury. They will most likely have Victor Evans this week, reserve defensive end, had been playing pretty well and sustained a concussion, went through protocol during the week. He is expected to play or to be available against Alabama, but Metcalf will not be, and maybe the Rebels can get through that game without another season-ending knee injury. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Be sure to check out The Memo with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, all things Northeast Mississippi, every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And be sure to check out Prep Rally for your high school sports needs with Brad Locke, Gene Phelps, and Blake Morgan every Wednesday. And Logan and I will be back with you next Thursday for Mississippi State and Ole Miss and another edition of Double Coverage. Come join us.